Kevin Woodley joins us from In Goal Magazine, also writes now on NHL.com. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. I'm excited that this is going to be a weekly thing.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's a position I know the least about. I hate goalies, so it's perfect to talk to a goalie about that. So we'll have a lot of fun with it. I guess I want to start, first of all, about a few of the guys that were put on waivers today. Tokarski in Montreal, and then a young goalie in L.A. in J.F. Bedoubé that a lot of people are high on. Let's start with Bedoubé. What's the scouting report on this guy?
Well, I mean, two things. One, I was a little surprised, and I guess it's a lack of experience that caused them to do it, at the NHL level at least, but I was surprised that they went out and got Enros. I thought maybe that Berube would be ready for them to be the backup to Quick. You don't ask your backups to do a lot in LA in terms of workload, and maybe that was it. Maybe they felt he needed to play more regularly still for at least one more season. But I kind of thought he'd get that shot, and you're also insulated defensively in LA pretty well. So they didn't. They signed Enroth. He goes on waivers, and I think there's going to be teams interested anytime a Kings goaltender hits the waiver wire, and it's just the track record of development there. I mean, there are teams in this league, cough New York Islanders, that consistently fail to develop their own and have to find goaltending help by on the free agent market or by trades or consistently from other teams, and there are others that develop their own. And L.A., certainly, the Jets in the past couple of years, the Vancouver Canucks are teams that have shown the ability to develop their own goaltenders. And you've seen it with the Kings, whether it's Scrivens or Jones or Bernier. Not just Billy Ranford in the NHL, but Kim Dillabaugh in the minor leagues as their development coach. He's moved on to get the NHL goaltending coach job with the Philadelphia Flyers this year. But the job those two did in tandem over the past couple of years and the commitment the Kings showed to having a full-time goaltending coach in the American Hockey League, I think they're one of the model franchises. And so, you know, without even needing to go into, you know, the specifics of Berube's game, anybody that comes through that pipeline and has the success that he had in the American Hockey League is going to get attention. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a team that makes a claim. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, no inside knowledge, but when you look at the Tokarski move, you wonder if it's to create space. As much as it is, you know, Condon having a really good training camp, with his lack of experience overall, you wonder if maybe they're waiting for another team to put a goalie on waivers that they see as an upgrade on Dustin Tokarski.
That's a very interesting one, because I was going to ask you about Condon. He was in the East Coast Hockey League in 2013-14, played 1 year in the American League last year, and had decent numbers in 50-some games, and now he comes in, and for the time being anyway, you know, takes that job away from Tokarski. Not that it's, you know, a job that requires a lot of playing time behind Carey Price, but what about Connan Tokarski? Is there anything, I guess, lacking in Tokarski's game that you've seen?
Well, I mean, he's not the biggest guy. And I don't care what you say. As much as, you know, there have been other guys who aren't huge, have success, it's a square footage game. And as athletic as some of these monsters are, I mean, we see, you know, just how explosive Markstrom can move here in Vancouver. And you know, you see a Pekka Rinne who's, you know, 6'5", 6'6", and moves like he's 5'10". That's always going to be advantage. Guys that have, you know, the ability to take up that space have a bigger margin for error. I've seen Tokarski described as athletic, and he's one of those guys that when I watched him, I've wondered at times whether it's unnecessarily so. And when I say that, it's, you know, I see it right into the NHL from scouting reports. The guys get tagged as athletic, and when you really break down their game, it's because they're putting themselves in a situation where they have to scramble too often. I think of a guy like Eric Comrie. I've seen scouting reports that question his athleticism, and then you talk to goalie coaches, and it's like, yeah, he's as athletic as anyone. He just doesn't move as much because he doesn't need to. So I put Tokarski in the, when people describe him as athletic, I kind of look at him and think that's because he puts himself in spots where he moves more than he needs to. The way he moves laterally, he has a tendency to, rather than rotate into angle and explode through, he has a tendency to kind of, if you can picture a guy backing up and on the inside skate or the direction you want to move, making a sort of reverse C cut to turn your body and then push through that rotation on a lateral slide or a lateral push going cross crease, especially against the rush. To me, that C cut is an extra move and a delay that I've seen cost him at the NHL level. So again, I've seen him described as being really explosive laterally, and yet I break down his technique and I see that little momentum build that he uses as something that delays him getting from one side to the other. So, and yet through all that, he's had some success at the NHL level. And it's not an easy job, and that's why I do wonder about them going to Condon and how serious they are about it, how committed they are to it, or if there's something else in mind, because not playing a lot is not an easy thing in the NHL. It's something that sometimes is an acquired taste, an acquired skill, and you look at a guy like McElhenney in Columbus who's kind of settled into that role, into that niche, and does a pretty good job of it. You talk to him about the challenges of being ready when you don't play often, of working in practice, being the guy that's always there to be a target for everyone without losing your own game and finding ways that you can stay sharp without getting to play on a regular basis. It can be really challenging, and it's not necessarily something that a lot of young guys are naturally suited towards. So I am curious to see this move. I thought Dakarski was kind of settling into that role nicely there. And it does make me wonder, again, without any inside knowledge, whether they have something else in mind.
Kevin Woodley joins us from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. Kevin, the last 2 years, you have been bang on in your breakout goalie predictions. Last year, you said Braden Holtby, and Holtby had a pretty good year. The previous 2 years, I think you had Columbus's goaltender as one of your guys, and then you had Varlamov the year with Colorado. So who is your breakout goalie or goalie to watch this year?
Well, I got to be honest. The first two Russians were – the reason I picked them was because I saw them as having all this raw athletic talent, and yet they'd never really worked or had a chance. You know, because of language in Philadelphia, it was a slower process to kind of rein it in with a little more modern North American technique. And you're going to see that out of Russian goaltenders right now. As a country, they're getting closer, but they're still a little bit behind technically, and so kids grow up relying on the ability to read plays and react to plays and develop what that true athleticism rather than the scrambly athleticism. And you add a layer of technique and you get what you had in Bobrovsky and Varlamov. Last year, Holtby was a no-brainer. Similar levels of athleticism. Mitch Korn, a guy as a coach who's going to tighten that up, and great defensive structure with the Barry Trotz system. This year, it's kind of a combination of team play and technique. And I guess some people, maybe it shouldn't count as it's certainly not a dark horse pick because he was a finalist for the Vezina Trophy last year. But when I see the amount of people predicting a fall off for Devan Dubnyk, I actually see it going the other way. And I see that because I've gotten a chance to see some of the work he did this offseason. And as much as people look at the fact he was in the American Hockey League and buried and almost right out of hockey just 2 years ago, and they see him taking a step back statistically, I get that. I see a guy who found something physically, worked differently 2 summers ago, and then technically with the head trajectory stuff, found something that really worked for him last season, and he went and he owned both those skills this summer. The work he did with OR Sports and having a chance to sort of see that firsthand, the work he did, you know, physically with a trainer in Adam Francilia in Kelowna, moving to Kelowna so that would be part of his off-season approach. And I think there were lessons learned there 2 years ago through the ups and downs of the American Hockey League and through working with different goalie coaches and hearing some different things about the way he trained and maybe didn't do enough physically in the off-season. I think there were lessons there, and he set out to fix them, took a step last year, and I think he took bigger steps, especially on the technical side this year. You know, talking to someone who was at the Andy O'Brien camp in Vail, Colorado, if for those unfamiliar, heading into the regular season, there's usually a week-plus-long kind of conditioning and on-ice camp. It's really offense-driven. A lot of elite kind of scorers go to that camp in Vail, Colorado. Obviously, the altitude plays a role in the conditioning. Crosby, Nathan MacKinnon, Matt Duchene, John Tavares, Jeff Skinner, you know, elite offensive guys. And the goalie's kind of, you know, almost like a target, you know, just there to be fodder. But talking to at least a couple people, they thought Devan Dubnyk was one of the most dominant players at that camp, and it's not often you say that of a goaltender in that environment. And I just think you're going to see a continuation, especially behind that system. He benefits from it. He knows it defensively. I think you're going to see that build. I'm not saying it's going to be as good as it was last year, 936, you know, while he was in Minnesota. But I would not be surprised at all if he's kind of at 14. Let's put it this way: at 14-1 odds for the Vezina Trophy, I think that's pretty good money right now heading into the season.
Any other goalies that are maybe like? What do you think of Jones in San Jose?
I wish I had a better read on Martin Jones. He's kind of the opposite. He's a guy who, you know, you talk about these athletic guys adding layers of technique to their game, and in Bobrovsky and in Varlamov, Jones always was well schooled technically, and now you talk to him, and in the off season, he avoids goalie coaches. He doesn't. He's one of those guys that doesn't, and rare guys, I would say, in this day and age, that doesn't do extra work with a goaltending coach during the summer. Instead, he plays shinny on purpose, and you know, shinny for a goaltender, it's all wide open looks and backdoor tap ins, and you know, the kind of hockey where, if you do it enough in the summer, a lot of goalies feel you start to cheat to have a chance, and those can become bad habits that continue in your game. Jones does his best not to cheat on those chances, but instead approach them as the opportunity to sort of work on and focus on his raw sort of, you know, again, that word athleticism, but his ability to kind of make off-the-cuff reactional saves, just open the car doors and go, guys. And it's a unique approach. It's one that's kind of served him well, at least so far in this preseason. And, you know, he's a guy that, you know, again, it's tough because you look at what he did in L.A., and his best run in L.A. was early behind a team with a defense that won a Stanley Cup, and you saw a slip last year. And you wonder is how much of him was the system, as we saw, you know, we've seen it with Scrivens in the system in L.A. and with Bernier in the system in L.A. and the numbers they put up. You wonder how much of it was system and how much of it was him. And I think he's right in the middle. The way he looked in the preseason, though, I was really impressed, and I wouldn't be surprised if it goes the right way for him behind that team in San Jose.
Kevin Woodley joins us. Kevin, I want to get your read on the Oilers goaltending situation. They brought in Cam Talbot. And now they've got Anders Nilsson, you know, two preseason games, not against, you know, very much NHL competition just yet. But, you know, he looked like he had been slower in a good way, I guess more calm in between the pipes. What did you make the decision on Ben Scrivens to go down and Nilsson? And where do you rank the Oilers goaltending tandem heading into the season?
I wish I'd gotten a chance to be around them a little more in training camp and that's what makes it tough, right? Preseason, you're right. How do you judge when the level of competition and the level of defensive structure varies so widely from night to night in the games that these guys get? So they're not seeing the same. You can't really, it can be apples and oranges from one game to the next for these guys. I still think Ben Scrivens is a capable NHL goaltender. Again, I don't know it's going to be at the numbers that he posted in LA behind that defense, but he's shown enough that he's capable of playing at this level. And, you know, and we spoke of Dubnyk. I do wonder if you know, that system and what happened there defensively over the past couple of years, just it does things to you as a goal. You can only see so many wide-open backdoor tap-ins before you start to cheat. And once you cheat, you give up short side. And it just snowballs. And sometimes it snowballs to a point where it can't work for you behind the same team, where the you didn't trust them, they didn't trust you, and it just breaks down to a point where it's not going to work anymore. I don't know that they were at that point with Scrivens in Edmonton, but as bad as it was last year for that team and for that defense, you do wonder if they were closing in on that. You see it with Steve Mason in Columbus, and look what he's done in Philadelphia. It's not that he was a terrible goaltender, but he'll be the first to tell you. He would have never had the success that he's having in Philadelphia and Columbus because that dynamic had broken. Look at the Minnesota Wild with the two goaltenders they had playing a good defensive system last year. That had broken. So I don't know if they're quite there, but they're probably close to it with Scrivens. As far as Nilsson goes, you know, I talked about this in the summer, and I wasn't all that surprised that they went and got him. again, because of the head trajectory stuff. And he was exposed to it by Steven Valiquette when he was in the Islanders farm system. Had his best run in the AHL after learning the ins and outs of it a little bit with Valiquette, got called up to the Islanders and was promptly left on his own, had no support for it, struggled a bit, left the island, goes over to the KHL, and in talking to him after the game here in Vancouver on Saturday night, he continued to focus on it a little bit, added a few other elements under a Finnish goalie coach while he was over there. He was lucky. He went to a KHL team where everything was taken care of. You know, you got paid on time, the flights were safe, and hey, you had a goaltending coach from Finland, which is never a bad thing. And so he continued to build his game. He's a good fit with the goaltending coach, Dustin Schwartz, because the things he's learned are things that Dustin is already on top of, and I would argue ahead of the curve compared to some other NHL teams on in terms of this tracking and the way you move your head and track the puck and how it affects your body movements and your save executions. Certainly big goalies can benefit, you know, more from it, and Nilsson fills that role. And I think last but not least, he wasn't going to say that this applied directly to the Oilers, but the thing about the KHL that he did agree with is it is so much east and west. It's pass, pass, pass. Guy's wide open. He's got to shoot. No. One more pass coming, and maybe another one. It's always looking for the other option. And if you approach it the right way, that can really help you build your patience as a goaltender. He did. He feels he's more patient for it. And again, my words, not his, but the way the Oilers have defended and the way they've given up lateral seams, I think that may benefit him in Edmonton this year.
Kevin, great stuff, man. I look forward to this every Monday at 3 o'clock, as Majot has already called it. It'll be called Crease Lightning with Woodley, all right?
I like that. I like that, guys. Thanks for having me, and I'm really looking forward to this season.